if a person is born from Jewish parents, obviously he is Jewish. He doesn't have to undergo a conversion. If a person is born to a mixed marriage, so then there were three opinions. In the days of the Tanaim, there were three opinions. One opinion, this was a long time ago. This was 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. So there's one opinion, like the Reforms say, that either the father or the mother is Jewish, then the child is Jewish. There was another opinion that you require both parents to be Jewish in order that the child should be Jewish. And the accepted opinion is the way it says in the Mishnah, that it all depends on the mother. Tosfos, in the end of the first Perek in Yevamos, points this out, that there were three opinions in the days of the Tanaim. Rabbi Gebeger on the side of the page says, what do you mean? Where are the three opinions? The Mishnah only quotes one opinion. It all depends on the mother. So the Chazanish, in his comments on the Gemara in Yevamos, shows where the Gemara has befavorished the other two opinions. Why wasn't there a fourth opinion? When you have a mixed marriage, where the father is a Kohen and the mother is a Levi, or the father is a Levi and the mother is a Yisraelis, whatever. So there, the Pasuk says, at the beginning of Chumash, Bamidbar, and Mishpachos, Levi's Avoisam, Mishpachas Av, Kruim Mishpacha, Mishpachas Amen, and Kruim Mishpacha. So why shouldn't there be a fourth opinion? Why shouldn't we pass on like that? Why doesn't it all depend on the father? How come if there are four logical possibilities and three of the logical possibilities depends on both parents, depends on either parent, depends on the mother, why shouldn't there be a fourth opinion depends on the father? And then all the dinim would be the same, because if you have a mixed marriage but both parents are Jewish, one is a kohen, one is not, it depends on the father. If you have a mixed marriage but both parents are not Jewish, also depends on the father. And let's say we have a different halacha for people who are from Amalek. We have a different din for people from Ammon and Moab. It's a different din for people who are Mitzri Vadoimi. Different din for people from the Zayin Umas. So the Gemara says, if you have a mixed marriage, both parents are not Jewish, then the status of the child is established by the father. So why shouldn't it be the same over here? If you have a mixed marriage, one parent is Jewish, one is not. Why wasn't there even a fourth opinion that it should all depend on the father? So the answer seems to be, al pi pashtos, the answer seems to be that being Jewish cannot be a function of mishpacha. We say there are two different types of kurva, relationship. There's a kurva that's called she'er basar. The Chumash says you're not allowed to marry a whole list of prohibited relatives. That's called she'er basar. She'er basar, some of the relatives are on the father's side, some on the mother's side. You're not allowed to marry your aunt. On the father's side, you're not allowed to even marry your aunt by marriage. On the mother's side, only a real aunt is prohibited. Your mother's sister-in-law, your mother's brother's wife is mutam in Atar. It says in the Chumash, it's mutam in Atar. But she'er basar, the kurva of she'er basar includes relatives from the mother's side or the father's side. But the kurva of mishpacha, it's a different type of kurva. Kurva mishpacha only depends on the father's side. So it cannot be. So if you're determining whether any given non-Jew, both parents are not Jewish, so the child is not Jewish. The only question is he from the Zayin Umas? Is he Ammon and Moab? Is he Mitzri Vadoimi? Is he from Amalek? So that's a function of Mishpacha. Mishpacha is Vadom. All the different nations are not really called nations, they're called Mishpachas. The only, he's Davin by Mimcha, Mikyam Chisol Ge'echot, but we're the only guy. We say a bracha, Shalom Asani Goy in the morning, that's really Yiddishism. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say the other nusach, Shalom Asani Nochmi, didn't say Shalom Asani Goy. Many of the poskim hold the brachas are supposed to be in biblical Hebrew, so that you refer to a non-Jewish person as a goy, that's a Yiddishism. It's a Yiddishism, it's a slang expression that appears in the Gemara also, but it's a slang expression, it's not correct in biblical Hebrew. We refer to the non-Jewish nations as goy or adoma, goyim. That's also probably a slang. The pashtus is that a goy comes from the goy, meaning a nation, comes from the word giviyah. Giviyah means a body. And the din is that the whole Jewish people constitute one big unit. We have a din called Yisrael Arevim Zebizeh. The other nations of the world are really, they're mishpachai suadoma. They're not a goy, al pi din. There is no din that they're mitzuref yachad. The thing that's mitzaref, that's a famous line, Rav Sadia Goyen has in his book, Emunas Vedeos. Sadia Goyen has a famous line where he writes, Einu Masenu Uma Ela B'Toy Rosa. So Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that line. He understood what it means is that there's only a tziruf of Kali saw together, the Umas Oilam, they're not Mitzur together. All the Americans don't constitute an American nation. All the French don't constitute a French nation. You have Amun Amoyev, you have Mitzvah Vedoimi, they're called Mishpachas. So Mishpacha depends on Mishpacha Sab Korean Mishpacha, Mishpacha Sem, any Korean Mishpacha. So whenever you have a mixed marriage where both parents are not Jewish, children are clearly not Jewish, the status of the children is determined by the father. But to say that the status of a child is determined by the father, that he's Jewish, to be Jewish cannot be a function of Mishpacha. B'harai, there's an institution of Geiris. A non-Jew can convert, he's not Mishpacha. So it cannot depend on the father based on the idea of Mishpacha. Kahuna and Lebiya and Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Zvul and Shevet Yehuda, what Shevet you belong to? That's a question. Which Mishpacha do you belong to? Which Shevet? A Shevet is an Inyan on Mishpacha, but being Jewish cannot be a function of Mishpacha. We had in today's Sedra, so that's why there never was such an opinion. There were four logical possibilities. From the four logical possibilities, there were only three opinions. Whether in a mixed marriage, whether the status of the child is established based on both parents being Jewish, either parent being Jewish, or only depends on the mother. And the accepted opinions, like it says in the Mishnah, that was decided 2,000 years ago. The Reform and the Conservative just woke up 3 years ago. This was already determined 2,000 years ago. And the Mishnah was edited by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, but the Mishnah, before it was edited, that was the traditional psak, that it all depends on the mother. So there is an institution of Geiris, and it's based on the psukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu told in today's Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yankov Avinu, V'nivruchu b'cho, kol mishpacha yisvadom. How do you translate V'nivruchu? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Miloshim Bracha, that when a non-Jew will want to give a blessing to his children, or give a blessing, he should be successful like Avram Avinu, he should be successful like Yankov Avinu. But other Rishayim, the Rashbam, and others, Lam Shad V'nivruchu Miloshim HaBracha. Abracha means to graft a branch from one tree onto another tree. So Nibruchu B'chokon Mishpacha Yisrael Adama means that the non-Jews will be able to join into the Jewish people. That we accept converts. Kodesh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people, we are the Yaman Nivcha, but it's not a racist notion. Whoever wants to join us will become Jewish, like we're Jewish, so they can become Jewish also. We have certain limitations on the Gerim. Like, you can become a citizen, if you're born in America, you're a citizen, and if you're a naturalized citizen, you have all the rights and privileges, you can't become the president. If you weren't born in America, you can't become the president. That's why when Obama was the president, it was all machlokes, was he really born in America or not? I think, I'm not mistaken, I think you can't sign a marriage license either unless you were born in America. I think it's not enough if you're an American citizen, you have to have been born in America, okay? So we have some rare dinim where we discriminate against ger. A ger cannot be a member of a bezdin when they're being dana yisrael. If there's a din torah where both parties are gerim, so then the ger can be a member of the bezdin. But they cannot be a member of a bezdin if he's being dana yisrael. And we spoke last week, a georis may not marry a kohen. Okay, so there's a slight discrimination against the ger. But aside from that, the Gerim have the same dinim as everybody else. There is a question. One of the Rabbonim in Yeshiva is a Balkore, so his next door neighbor is a Ger. So last year, on Purim, the Ger didn't feel well, so he asked his next door neighbor, this Rebbe in Yeshiva, can he read the Megillah for him? So he started to wonder, there is an opinion in Achrayim, it's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch. This whole discussion is missing in Shulchan Aruch. Some are of the opinion that the din kol yisrael arevim doesn't apply with respect to gerim. And the din is, if I already read the Megillah in Shul, I already heard the Megillah in Shul, I can go to the hospital, I can go to the old age home to read the Megillah again. Either din is, you can only read the Megillah to be mitzi other people if you're mechui bedover. Let's say it's a child before bar mitzvah. Is going to read the Megillah. So the Mishnah says he can't be mitzi the others with the Mikra Megillah. He's not mechuyev to the same extent. He's only mechuyev mid the Rabbanim, mid Tam Chinuch, and everybody else is mechuyev mid Dibri Kabbalah. The Chiyev Mikra Megillah is stronger than that of the Kot. Now let's say father's away for Shabbos on business, and the son is going to say Kiddush for the mother. The son is not bar mitzvah. The mother is obligated in Kiddush Menatur, and the child is only obligated in Kiddush mid the Rabbanim. So the child cannot say Kiddush to be mitzi the mother. You have to be mechuyev b'dover. So how can, if I already read the Megillah, I read Yotzei the Megillah in Shul, how can I read the Megillah again for the people who didn't come to Shul? So the Gemara says, Yotzei, Yotzei, even though you were Yotzei already, you're still considered Mechui B'dov, as long as there's one Shul left in New Zealand who didn't hear the Megillah yet, so you're still Mechui to read the Megillah if it'll help him. Because Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh B'Zeh. So there is such a minority opinion that the Din of Orvis, Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh B'Zeh, only applies with respect to other Jewish people, doesn't apply with respect to Ger. So the Rebbe in Yeshiva didn't know what to do. He told the next door neighbor he's going to read the Megillah for him. Then he realized it's a question. But the Pashtus is, we don't pass him like that. There is such an opinion. The Pashtus is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Pashtus is that the Din of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh B'Zeh even applies with respect to a Ger. He's Jewish, so he's part of the Jewish people. When a non-Jew wants to convert, there was a famous psak from Rabbi Gorin when he was the chief rabbi. There was a German non-Jew who wanted to convert, but he wanted to remain a member of the Jewish nation, but he wanted to just accept the faith of the Jewish people. He didn't want to become a member of the Jewish people. So Rabbi Gorin said, we can't accept you as a convert, because the laws of Geirus are learned out. One of the sources is the Sefer Rus that we read on Shavuos. And in Rus, when the army is carrying on a conversation with Rus, so Rus says, Amechami velakai chalakoi, I accept the God of the Jewish people. Amechami, I accept to become a member of the Jewish people. We emphasize this. When the ger is in the mikvah up to his neck, he or she is in the mikvah up to his neck, so then we review the highlights of the Kabbalah some mitzvah. You don't review all the 613 mitzvahs, you'll get pneumonia. So we review some of the highlights and we say, just like you accepted, you committed yourself to observe all of these mitzvahs, do you commit yourself to observe all the other mitzvahs that you'll hear about later in life? And if they say yes, then we accept them. So then we tell them, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism and now you're joining the Jewish people, you're going to suffer from anti-Semitism. You have to realize that. You have to know what to expect. So if they accept it, it's fine. That's part of the Kabbalah some mitzvahs. They have to accept to observe mitzvahs. They have to commit themselves to observe the mitzvahs. And they have to also accept to become a member of the Jewish nation. And everything that carries with it. Everything that comes along with it. There were some Gedolim in Europe who had, in the early 1900s, who had an idea based on a pasuk in Navi. Ubishem Yisrael Yechuna, an expression in the Navi, that if a non-Jew wants to join the Jewish people, even if he doesn't commit himself to observe mitzvah, that's also called Geirus. But the Pashtus in the Gemara is that it's not so. The Pashtus says you have to have both. You have to commit yourself to observe all the mitzvahs. And the Gemara says if a non-Jew commits himself to observe all the mitzvahs except for one, even if the one is only midirabban, let's say he doesn't like the Yom Tov Purim. It's not nice that the Jews celebrate that they had a victory over their enemies and they killed all of the followers of Haman. He doesn't like the mitzvah Purim, so he wants to accept all the 613 mitzvahs, but he doesn't want to accept the mitzvah Purim. So Gemara says, you don't accept them. You only accept the person if he commits himself to observe everything. Well, let's say a woman is converting, and we know that she's converting, she plans to marry a Kohen. A Kohen is not permitted to marry a Gioris. So you don't accept such a person, and even if the Bezin did accept such a person by mistake, so the Pashtus says that it's not valid. Rav Herzog was the second chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. He has a famous tshuva, but he says we never heard of any Bezin in a Chutzlortz all the years who would accept a woman who's converting who planned to marry a Kohen. That's chutz midover echud. The non-Jew has to commit himself to observe the mitzvahs in order to do the conversion. We have a meaning that we read Rus on Shavuos for different reasons. So one of their most famous reasons is that Rus has about the story of conversion. When Rus was converting, Rus was coming back from Stei Moab with her mother-in-law, with Naomi. And she said she wants to convert to become Jewish. So Shavuos is the Yom Tov Geirus of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Yitzchak Yankev were Jewish, but the Gemara says that Maimon HaSinai was the Geirus of the entire Jewish nation, and all the dinim of Geirus are learned out from the Maimon HaSinai. So the first step in Maimon HaSinai was that Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu offers the presents the offer to Bnei Yisrael, are they interested in accepting the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to different nations, and they all turned it down. And when it was offered to the Jewish people, so they said, Nasa Menishma. So the Nasa Menishma that we all said is the basis for the idea that the Ger has to have Kabbalah Samis. He has to accept upon himself, he has to commit himself to observe all of the mitzvahs. There was a professor in Eretz Yisrael who published a whole book about conversion. So he came up with a wild chiddush that the whole idea of Kabbalah on mitzvahs was invented in 1850 by the Goyen who wrote the Shabbos Shuvahs, by the Beis Yitzchak, I think, by the Sholem Eishim. That's ridiculous. The Gemara talks about Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Gemara says, if the Ger doesn't commit himself to observe the mitzvahs, so you don't accept them, neither did he ever, the Geris is not valid at all. You have to have a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So that's the first step. There was some rabbi published an essay in Tradition, that's the RCA journal. So he quoted that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not miyakev. So someone told the Rabbi Soloveitchik was not in the practice of reading Tradition magazine. Someone brought it to his attention. So he said, that's ridiculous. The Rambam means the dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs that the Ger is in the mikvah up to his neck, and then we review the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So the drama of the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the moment before he's about to dip into the mikvah, that's not miyakev. But of course the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is miyakev. That's where Moshe Feinstein writes, he heard from his father. Chaim Moshe writes like that, all of the poskim write like that. If you have a non-Jew who converts and he doesn't keep any mitzvahs, he never accepted upon himself, never committed himself to preserve any mitzvahs. So the whole geris is ridiculous. That's not a geris. But then the Gemara learns out from Maimon Hasina that in addition to the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, you need more things. So the Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael, before they left Mitzrayim, brought the Korban Pesach. Before they brought the Korban Pesach, there was a national bris milah. Why national bris milah? Because for so many years, when they were living in Mitzrayim, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of milah. The same thing in the Midbar. The only Shevet who fulfilled the mitzvah of milah in the Midbar, the 40 years of traveling, was Shevet Levi. Or Brischa Yintzayru. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Brischa Yintzayru. The others didn't fulfill the mitzvah of milah. So right before Korban Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol Orel Yechol, but one who doesn't have a bris milah is not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. So there was a big national bris milah at that time. So the Pashtus is that was in order to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara understands a little differently. The Gemara says it was not only for the purpose of being able to eat, the Korban Pesach, that was the bris that was leading up to the Maimon HaSinai later on. The Geris began with that bris milah. And then later, right before Maimon HaSinai, everybody had to go to mikveh. The simple reading of the pasuk sounds like only the married people had to go to mikveh. The single people, there isn't really a pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara says we have a tradition that the Gemara gives a whole explanation. How do you know? It doesn't really say it in the Chumash. How do you know that even the people who are not married also had to go to mikveh before Shavuos, on Erev Shavuos? Married people had to go to mikveh 3 days before. They had a prisha 3 days before because of poletas. And the single people had to go to mikveh before Kabbalah Sater. So the din is that you have to have these maisa geris. You have to have not enough. The ikur of the geris, the essence of the geris, is the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. But in addition to that, you have to have the milah for the men, then you have to have the tefillah and the mikveh. And then on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it says in the end of Parshas Mishpatim that they brought karbonis. So that was a national geris for the whole Kalal Yisrael. So they brought a series of karbonis on behalf of the whole Kalal Yisrael. Throughout all the future generations, the din requires that each and every individual ger has to bring a korban. So the Gemara raised the question, so what about Bizman HaZeh? Bizman HaZeh is not Beis HaMikdash. How can anybody convert if you can't bring the korban? So the Gemara explains, based on the Pesukim and Chumash, that the korban is not miyakev. But let's say, if a non-Jew converts today, he should live so long, we should all live so long to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. So the Gemara says the non-Jew who converts will have to bring a korban when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Like if it is that your legacy, a woman has a baby, is obligated to bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. A woman had 9 babies, so she'll be obligated to bring 9 sets of korbanos when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. So the Gemara records that after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were a lot of converts. There were more converts from the Romans than like now in recent years they have, but they printed in studies there are more converts from the Germans, from the German nation, than their percentage in the world population. So apparently the same thing happened after the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash. The Roman children were wondering, why did their parents kill all the, why did their parents and their grandparents, what did they have against the Jews? Why did they kill so many Jews at the time of the Churban Abayis? And they looked into Judaism. They fell in love with Judaism. So an awful lot of converts from the Romans. So the same thing, after the war, after the Shoah, many of the Germans are trying to figure out, why did their parents and their grandparents, what did they have against the Jews? So they traveled to Israel and they studied about the Jewish people. There's a higher percentage of Germans converting than their percentage in the world population. So the Gemara says these converts would set aside money. Mary bought a Beis HaMikdash. Soon the Beis HaMikdash may be built during their lifetime, so they're not able to bring the Korban now. There's no Beis HaMikdash, but they would set aside money, and they magdish the money that when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, they're going to use this money for the purpose of bringing the Korban oilah, an oilah from a behemah that they're obligated to build. And then years were going by. It's already almost 2,000 years since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And what happened to all that money? People were sitting inside, they put money in envelopes, and all the money disappeared. So the Tanoim realized that it's not a smart idea to put aside money. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin for 40 years. The Gemara says the first 40 years of his life, till the age 40, he worked for a living, then he retired at the age of 40. Made $1 million, whatever. And then at the age of 40, he sat down to learn for 40 years, and then he was appointed chief rabbi at the age of 80, and then he lived, he was chief rabbi till the age of 120. That's what the Gemara says. So during his tenure as the head of the Sanhedrin, he, with the Sanhedrin, named 9 takonis. One of the 9 takonis of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was to abolish that practice. That's not a smart idea for the gerim to put aside the money. It's better they shouldn't put aside the money. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, they'll be makriv a korban, because if you put aside the money, the money's gonna disappear, and somebody's gonna be in violation of the Ilah Be'Hegdash. So these are considered the Maisa Geiris. You have to have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah is the essence of the Geiris. Then you need Mila. If it's a man, then you need Tefillah and a Mikveh. Then you need the Korban, but the Korban is not Me'akev Bizman HaZeh. And these are all based on Maimon HaSinai, because we learn from the Pesukim, Nasa V'Nishma, and then there was a Bris Mila in Mitzrayim, and then there was the Mikveh. Everybody went to Mikveh, and then they brought Korbanos. Then the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, that the Geiris has to be done under the supervision. That's the question, which word to use, under the auspices of a Bezin or under the supervision of a Bezin. So you have to have a Bezin. This is a question, but in Maimon HaSinai we don't find that there was any Bezin. We might perhaps assume that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Bezin, the Gemara said, but the Gemara said Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Shim V'Yechud, of a Bezin of Sanhedrin. When you have a Geir wants to convert, so you don't need a Bezin of 71, you just need a Bezin of 3 Rabbanim. You don't need 71. So where was there a Bezin at the time of Maimon HaSinai? One of the Gedolim in the late 1800s, of Shul of Kutna, he was a rabbi in the city Kutna, has in his Sefer HaChoshim Mishpat, this is one question that he asks. Where was the Bezin on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai? All the dinim of Geiris are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. So then he poses another question. If everything is learned out from Maimon HaSinai, a Geiris means that I'm making a deal, so to speak, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Maimon HaSinai, there was a Gilui Shechina. So why not learn out from the Pasuk that you can only be Mekabel a Geir if you have two parties there, when you sign a contract with your boss. So the employer is there and the employee is there. So they both agree. So the Rebbe Shalom has to be there. How do you know you can be Mekabel a Geir if there's no Gilui Shechina, if you're learning everything out from the Maimon HaSinai? Rabbi Shlomo Kutna thinks that one kasha for him is the other. He says there was no need for a Bezin on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai because the Shechina was there. So both parties were there. The Doiris, if you're not going to have any Gilui Shechina, so then you have to have a Bezin representing the Shechina. Because the Pasuk says of the King Nitzav, Adas Kel. Whenever you have a Bezin, so we assume there'll be, if it's honest to goodness Bezin, we assume there'll be a Hashuas HaShechina. It won't be a Gilui Shechina, but we assume they will have a Hashuas HaShechina. So that's what Rabbi Shaul HaKutna thinks. He thinks that the Bezin by the Ger has to represent the Ribbono Shel Olam in agreeing to take the Ger. The Beis HaLevi has a slightly different understanding of what the role of the Bezdin is, but he also thinks that the Bezdin accepts the Ger. He says when the Ger converts, he not only commits himself to observe the mitzvahs, he becomes a member of Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael has to agree to accept him as a member. Amay Hasina, there was no already existing Klal Yisrael. The whole, all the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had to undergo Geirus. So they were the whole Klal Yisrael. So you didn't need a Bezdin to be Mekabel there. You didn't need that they should be accepted by the Klal Yisrael. But once you have the Maim HaSinus, you have Klal Yisrael. So a non-Jew who converts not only says, Elokaich Elokoi, says, Amichami, I accept to become a member of the Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael has to say, we accept you. So that's what you need. That's how the Beis HaLevi HaChumash writes. You have to have a Bezdin to accept him. These are both, Rabbi Shmuel HaKutner and the Beis HaLevi, both assuming that the Bezdin is playing an active role in the Geirus. Let's say Chasana. So they call up two witnesses to stand under the chuppah to watch the way the Chasana gives the ring to the Kalb. So did the Edom have to approve of the marriage? Let's say the Edom think it's an awful shidduch. They think it's terrible. The Edom, it doesn't matter whether they think it's a good idea or not. The Edom Lakim Adov, we call it. If you don't have Edom watching, so the Kiddushin is not Chal. When you give a get, you have to have Edom watching when you give the get. If you don't have Edom, so it doesn't take effect. So some Rabbanim think that that's what Geirus is. Instead of requiring two Edom Lakim Adov, you have to have a Bezdin watching. But the Bezdin doesn't have to be Maskim. It doesn't matter whether the Bezdin agrees to accept the Geirim. So that's why both Rabbi Shmuel HaKutner and his Sefer HaChoshim Mishpat and the Beis HaLevi, they both assume not so. That the Bezdin plays an active role. Either the Bezdin represents the Rabbanu Shalom to accept the Geir. He's representing Rabbanu Shalom to make a deal with the Geir. We're accepting him, or Klal Yisrael is accepting him. Every so often it comes up that a Geir fooled the Bezdin. This is a Bezdin, let's say, case came up, a Bezdin in Florida. So someone flew all the way from Seattle, and he fooled the Rabbanim of Florida to believe that he lives in Florida. Really, he lived in Seattle, and the Bezdin there rejected him because there was some kind of a problem with him. And then he fooled the people in Florida into believing that he lives in Florida and has no baggage. He had a lot of baggage in the background. So then when the Bezdin found out about it, they converted him. Then they found out that they were fooled. So they sent him a letter. We're sorry to notify you that your conversion was not valid because you fooled us and we converted you on false pretenses. And you're not Jewish. And there are other, but the Dinam also did the same in cases where there was, sometimes they fooled them about certain details, which are not Miyakeh B'dieh, but if they fooled them about things that the Bezdin would never have gone through the Geirus at all, then they can notify the person that your Geirus is not valid. It was under false pretenses. The Din requires you have to have a Bezdin by the Geirus, you have to have a Bezdin of three. A real Bezdin has to have Smicha. So we, even the best yeshivas in the world, we don't have any real Smicha today. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon Yeridei, quotes from the Abarbanel. That's one and only place that he ever quotes the Abarbanel, I think. He quotes Abarbanel that the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. It's not real smicha. Smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And the chain of smicha has to be Yishmit B'Yisha Moshe Rabbeinu. The chain of smicha was broken many years ago, 1500 years ago, in the days of the Amoraim. And we don't have real smicha. What we have is imitation smicha. Rabbi Yudan Nosen made a takana that no one should pass in any shadows unless you have heter hayroah. That's why people who speak Yiddish, Europeans, they don't call it smicha. They call it heter hayroah. That's the expression that the Gemara uses. Rabbi Yudan Nosen made a takana. Talmud al yoyre. The Talmud who learns in the yeshiva, he knows halacha shouldn't pass in anything until the Rebbe gives him permission. So it's not really smicha, it's imitation smicha, it's really strictly speaking, it's called heter hayra, permission to paskan hashan. So that's the shaila. So the Tosis raises the question, if nobody today has bona fide smicha, so any geiris, you have to have a bezna of three people with smicha, so how is any geiris valid? So some rishonim say, you need three people, but they don't have to have smicha. Different explanations. Why? There was never a need for smicha. Even bisman, even in the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, there were smuchim available. There was never any need for smicha. Tosis thinks not so. Tosis is of the opinion that when there was smuchim available, it didn't require that the bezin for the geirus has to be three people with smicha. But bisman azeh, the Gemara says that we can function today. Even the bezin can force a man to give his wife a get. And Rebbe Gemara says Bezdin has a right to be koyfer, so you have to have a Bezdin of smuchim, So today we don't have any smuchim. So the Gemara says, Shlichu Saiku Abdin, that the Rabbonim and Bogel, who didn't have smicha, have the right to act as if they're shluchim of the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, who did have smicha. And today, even in Eretz Yisrael, there are Rabbonim who have any smicha. So the Rishonim formulated an expression, Shlichu Saiku the Kamoiku Abdin. The Rabbonim today function as the shluchim of the Rabbonim from centuries ago. So many assume that this whole idea of Shlichu Saiku is a concept in the Rabbanan. It doesn't work on the level of the Reis. But Tosfos obviously thinks not so. Tosfos says that all of the Geiris that we do today is based on Shlichu Saiku. What do you mean? There's only a Geir in the Rabbanan, and Atari is a Goyim in the Rabbanan is a Geir. It doesn't make any sense. So you see that Tosfos is of the opinion that this concept of Shlichu Saiku, that the Rabbanan today have the right to function as a Bezin, even though they don't have Smicha, is an idea there. I said, when you look in Chosh Mishpat, the first page in Chosh Mishpat, the first comment of the Nesimus, Simon Aleph of Cotton Aleph, he has this machlokes Tosfos in the Rashba, but the Shlichu Saiku is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. This is a mitzvah, shoftim shotim titin lachot, this is a mitzvah, hamvadas dayonim. The Jewish people have an obligation to set up the system of batidinim in Eretz Yisrael in every single city, and Chutz Lorz every region. Eretz Yisrael has to be with every single city. It has a minimum population, and it has to establish a bezin. They don't have 70 dinim there, so the bezin will meet. They will meet once a month, once every 2 months, if you don't need them. But yeah, every city has to have a bezin. And in Chutz Lorz, you don't have to, it's not our country, so you don't have to establish bezin in every single city. You establish enough bezin dinim to cover all the cases that may possibly come up. So in the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, they discussed whether the mitzvah of Hamadas Dayonim still applies to the Torah today or only midirabban, because they're no bona fide smuchim. All the smicha is only midirabban. So the Nesivus in his first comment points out, according to Tosfos, Shlichu Saiku was a din deraisa v'harai, but it even works to make a person into a ger, who works in Issa v'Hemta. And the Rashba and other Rishonim are of the opinion that Shlichu Saiku is only midirabban. So the mitzvah of Hamadas Dayonim wouldn't apply today. That's a question. The Gemara in one place sounds as if it says that you don't need a bezin for geiris. The Gemara says if a man converted and there was no bezin watching when he was tovel in the mikveh, so the Gemara says, but we know he's a religious guy, goes to mikveh every Yerub Shabbos. A chassid, he goes to mikveh every Yerub Shabbos. Since everybody in the neighborhood knows him, let's say a woman converted, and we know there was no, she tells us there was no bezin at the time she converted. So the Gemara says, but we know she's a religious woman. She goes to mikveh every month, so we know that she went to the mikveh. So how is that good? What do you mean we know? But don't you have to have the bezin watching? So the simple reading of the riff on that Gemara is that the whole need for the bezin is only lechatchila, and it's not miyakev b'riyevet. That's not the accepted opinion. We pass from halacha that the bezin is miyakev. But Rav Soloveitchik thought that perhaps we should be machmeh for that opinion. Let's say sometimes you have a person who really sincerely wants to convert, and he didn't know, he fell in with a conservative bezin. He didn't know that they're not the rabbanim, are not kosher to serve as dayonim on a bezin. So do you have to tell a person that he has to observe all the mitzvahs? So they say, no, you're a goy gomer. You're not Jewish, because the bezin is miyakim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that we should be machmer like that opinion. We should tell him that he's obligated to observe the mitzvah. He should convert again a second time in the presence of a bona fide bezin. But we should tell him he should observe the mitzvahs l'chumra, because the Rif's opinion seems to be that the bezin is not miyakeh b'riyev. We paskin the bezin is miyakeh b'riyev. You have to have a bezin. The Gemara talks about the ABC of Geiris is that you have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs. The non-Jewish candidate for conversion has to commit himself to observe mitzvahs. So let's say there's a Jewish couple who can't have children. They want to adopt a non-Jewish child. They want to convert him. So how can you convert an infant? The infant doesn't have seichel to say he's committing himself to observe mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that we apply the principle of zochen liyodim shalai b'fon. We assume that it's in the best interest of the child to be converted to become Jewish. What exactly does that mean? Well, why is it in the best interest of the child that he should be converted to become Jewish? So in Europe there was a big machloikas, and here is the same machloikas continuing. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan was the major poisek in Europe till he died in the late 1800s. So he was of the opinion it's only a schus to convert a non-Jewish child if he's going to be brought up by observant parents. He'll be given a Jewish education. He'll be brought up to observe mitzvahs, to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and all the mitzvahs in the Torah. If you have a non-observant couple adopting a non-Jewish baby, they're going to bring him up as a non-observant Jew. So it's better to remain a non-Jew than to be converted. Why should we consider it as chus that he should be converted? That was the position of Itzchak, and that's Rav Soloveitchik also says like that. That if the parents are non-observant, they're not going to give the child the yeshiva education, Jewish education. So you're not doing the baby a favor, you're doing him a disservice, going to be brought up. He won't be observing that. So it's better to remain a non-Jew. We didn't do him a teifah. And then there were other rabbanim who were of the opinion, no, just to be Jewish, even to be a non-Jew, a non-observant Jew, it is better than to be a nice, decent non-Jew. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to have been of that opinion. That's what it sounds like in his Jewish. So this was the Sridi Eish. Rabbi Weinberg was the head of Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. That was the yeshiva. They had a lot of musmachim in Western Europe. So he writes in one of his chuvas that it was a chutzpah on the part of one of the rabbanim in Europe that he disagreed with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna. He writes, accepted psak was like Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna, that's only considered as chutz, only letoivosa of the child. It was going to be brought up by observant parents, to be adopted by non-observant parents. It was a big issue in Eretz Yisrael. Many non-observant, many secular Jews want to adopt non-Jewish babies. Then they want to convert them. They want to have the baby should be Jewish, but they're not going to give them an education. They themselves don't keep anything from the Torah. So what do you mean? So what? Who says that it's a Torah? The Rav Soloveitchik thought like Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna, it's not a Torah. And then the others were of the opinion that it is a Torah. So that's a big shaila. Here we have in America, we keep on having this shaila, new modern shaila, the American shaila. So you have two men are living together. And they want to adopt a non-Jewish baby, they want to convert. So who says that is l'taybosa of the baby? To be converted, to be brought up by two fathers, they're not going to see a normal lifestyle. We don't have enough evidence to show whether they were, is the child going to grow up to be normal, or is he going to grow up to be like the two fathers? You have to have surveys done. The psychologists haven't had enough time to make surveys on this one. So, the din is that you only say Zochli Adam Shlei Bifonov if from the perspective of the present it appears that we're doing the person a teva. Let's say, I want to give a gift to Moshe. Moshe is not here. So I give the gift to you. I can wait till next week when I'll see him. But I may change my mind in between. So if you want to prevent me from changing my mind, so if I give you the gift, you pick it up and you're going on behalf of Moshe. So that's the original din of Zochen Le'odom Shlei B'fonov. The original Mishnah, the original din appears in the Mishnah in Erevin. When you want to make an Erev, that everyone should be allowed to carry in an area within the Erev, so you have to have a box of matzahs that's on the shutzvahs by everybody. So one person goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs, gives it to another Jewish person and picks it up at Tefa. He says, it's kind of shutzvahs, I'm here for all the Shabbos of Lefi, and now they're going to move into the face. So who says that they want to? Of course they want the Erev to have everything to gain and nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose over here. You have a shutzvahs in the matzah, so you can eat the matzah if you want. You can eat all the matzahs if you want. If the one who gives the matzah, the shutzvahs, to everybody's makbid, they should only eat their little brekala. So the whole Erev is not valid. So the Erev is only good if the one is giving the matzah, everybody knows. Everyone has a right to eat all the matzahs. So if the fellow doesn't want to carry the Erev, so let him not carry. But he has everything to gain and nothing to lose. So the Mishnah says, you say in such a situation, Zochel Adam Shlei B'fonov. That's the first time the Mishnahis have this din mentioned. But there's the Mishnahis in Erev. So the din in the Gemara is, let's say, I want to give you a gift and you're not here, so I give the gift to someone who is here, he's kind of for you. When you find out about it, so you have the option of turning it down. You don't want to be indebted to Shechta, you don't want to have to be Makatayba to me. So you say, I don't want the gift. So the Gemara says, the same is true over here, by the Ger Katan. When you adopt the non-Jewish child, when you convert the non-Jewish child, so we assume we're doing him as Toiva. We're going to bring him up as an observant Jew. We're going to see to it that he's going to keep the mitzvah. He's going to get a yeshiva education. He's going to observe the mitzvahs later. So what happens when the child reaches approximately age of 12 or 13, a boy or a girl, and then they say they turn it down. So they turn it down. They don't want to be Jewish. So the Gemara says you can undo the whole gerus. Just like any case of Zochem Yodim Shlevivanov, if I gave a matana to someone else who wasn't here, someone who's here picks up the matana behalf of the other person. So we apply the rule of Zochem Yodim Shlevivanov. So when the person on whose behalf the kinyan was made finds out about it, he says, I don't want the gift. So the Gemara says you cancel the whole zechiyah. So the same is true by the ger katan. The child has a right, when he reaches bar mitzvah, has a right to undo the whole gerus.
So would there be a difference when there are two mothers who are living together and they're observant, which we say that is a chus? You mentioned fathers, but is there a difference between mothers?
Same question. The question is that it's not normal. So will the child grow up to be a tzedreta? We don't have enough evidence. So the din is zochlan shleibefanov has to be from the perspective of the present. It appears that it is going to turn out the toiva, and then the child has the option to turn it down when he reaches 12 or 13. But if from the perspective of the present, we're not sure what is going to turn out the toiva. Let's say a non-observant family adopts a child, non-Jewish child, they convert the child. They drive to the synagogue on Shabbos, they don't always keep kosher, then the kid falls in, and he goes to NCSY. The kid becomes very frum, and then he goes to yeshiva, very, very frum. But at the time that we converted him, we could not have foreseen that
so
the child...
in case of a Sufik, would we say Sufik?
Okay, if there's any Sufik, you don't say Sufik. It has to look from the perspective of the present, it is Netoiva. Then later on, the child has the option, because the Mishnah, this is a tshuva Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, Rabbi Elia Prusian, or Rabbi Elia Feinstein, has his tshuva Sefer Halichos Eliyahu. He has a tshuva in Chelek Eben Ezra, where he says this based on a Nesivus and Choshe Mishpat. Nesivus quotes the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Gittin. A man writes a get to give to his wife, and the wife is not here. So he gives the get to someone else to be kind of the get on behalf of the wife. So the Mishnah says it's not a valid get. You don't say Zochen Leon Shlevifon. It's Chobo Loisha. Who says the wife wants the get? So the Nesiva says the question, but now the wife has all the options. If she wants, she can say, I want the get, and she'll become divorced. We don't know whether she has Shalom Bayis or not. Maybe she's chalashing to get a get from her husband. We don't know what's going on in the privacy of their apartment. So you're giving the wife all the options. So she wants, she'll say, I want the get. If she doesn't want the get, she'll say, I don't want the get. So why not consider that a schut? You give her all the options at the end of it. That's not called zochin. If you're not sure whether it's the toiva or the raw, so you don't say zochin. It has to look from the perspective of the present that we're doing a toiva for the person, and then the person has the option to turn it down later. But it has to look as if it has to, from the perspective of the present, it has to look like it is the toiva. So by the ger katan also has to be that it looks from the perspective of the present that the child is going to be brought up as an observant Jew. If it's questionable, whenever there's any suffix, so the whole din of zochin doesn't apply. So the psychologists haven't had enough time to do research on the topic. If you have two mothers adopting a child, you have two fathers, two men adopting a child, is the child going to grow up to be normal, or going to grow up to be a tzedreta? So they don't know. We don't know, so you can't say zochin.
Between the time that a child is born,
no, we assume that the child, when we did a bris on the baby boy, and then we had them go to the mikveh, we assume the child is Jewish, and if he's going to handle wine, the wine will be kosher. Rashi says, what else? He can't be considered to a minion. He's not bar mitzvah yet. So if he handles wine, the wine is kosher. In the event that when they reach the age of 12, 13, they say, we don't, no thank you, we don't want the whole conversion, so then it's undone. It turns out that they were never Jewish. So we drank the tray for wine. We didn't know. We thought at the time the child was Jewish. Turns out that he really wasn't Jewish. But temporarily we assume that the child is Jewish. The Gemara tells us that when the non-Jew first does the bris milah, and then if it's a man, first he does the bris milah, and then they go to the mikveh. That's the way it was in Mitzrayim. The bris milah was done before the Korban Pesach. And then 7 months, 7 weeks later, was Maimon Hasina, when everybody, the married people and the single people, everybody went to the mikveh at that time. So the way it was originally was the bris milah came first and then they're going to the mikveh. What if you do it in the opposite order? Is it me'akeh b'di'evet? So that's a big dispute in the Rishonim based on Gemara. Some Gemara seem to indicate that the Seder is not me'akeh. The Shach paskins that it's a sfeikah d'dina. So if you ever have a case where the person went to the mikveh first and then he had a bris milah, and so then you have to have him go to the mikveh a second time, but b'li bracha. We had that case, Rabbi Fulda just passed away. Rabbi Manfred Fulda was a Rebbe in Yeshiva for, I think, over 60 years or something. I remember him when he was single. He was the star in the Yeshiva. He used to send him around to speak in different shuls. Remember, he spoke in my father's shul in the Bronx when he was a bocha learning for smicha. So he told us a story. He taught in Yeshiva for many years. So one of the boys, he asked him to perform his marriage, to be a Masada Kedushin at his wedding. And the boy told him that he had been converted. So he asked him, how were you converted? So he says, well, first he was converted by a conservative Bezdin. And then he realized that conservative Judaism is not valid. And then he was converted a second time in Hawaii by a Chassidish group. So the rabbi fooled out the presence of mind to ask, exactly what did they do? So he said, they took me to the mikveh, and then after we entered the mikveh, then they performed the bris milah. So Rabbi Fulda said, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's supposed to do the opposite, and we paskan it to sveikah d'dina. So he had to convert him a third time. The week before his wedding, he had to convert him the third time. First time he was converted by the conservatives. Second time he was converted by the Chassidish group in Honolulu, and they did it out of order. First they did the tefillah in the mikveh, and then they had the milah. So then he had to have him be toivel the second time. So usually when a ger comes out of the mikveh, he says a bracha. The Gemara tells us, normally a bracha has to be recited on a mitzvah. Oiva lasi osim. Oiva means immediately before you're about to perform the mitzvah. We have some exceptions to the rule that the Ashkenazim have a practice that the women say the bracha when they benchlicht, they say the bracha on Erev Shabbos, they say the bracha after they light the candles, and when you wash until it's a dime, many have the practice, the Ashkenazim have a practice, say the bracha after. More correct is even by until it's a dime, the Mishnah Berurah is saying. More correct is you say the bracha before you wash your hands. And more correct is by the Lichtenstein also, it's not really correct. They quote that when Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer moved to Eretz Yisrael, so he told his wife she should stop saying the bracha. After she benches licht, after lighting the candles, she should really say the bracha before. Because in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Kara is the Mara of the Asram, we should follow Rabbi Yosef Kara. And he also changed. He, instead of saying the bracha on the tilsa dime after, he said the bracha before, like Rabbi Yosef Kara. What do you mean? When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he followed everything from Rabbi Yosef Kara. He didn't follow. The Sfardim followed Rabbi Yosef Kara. The Ashkenazim followed the Ramah. He said, these two dinim, he never liked in the first place. These two minhagim are difficult. The Mishnah Berurah says, more correct is, if you know your hands are clean. They say the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim before, and the Lich Bench and also, it's a very difficult thing. So Gemara says, however, there is an exception to the rule. Gemara says, the exception to the rule is the Ger. The Ger is not Jewish until he goes to the mikveh, so you can't tell him, say a bracha before, Asher Kiddushan of the Mitzvah Shem Tzivan or Al Atfila. It's not Kiddushan of the Tzivan, he's not Jewish yet. So the Gemara says, Ger, Tovah Be'Allah, after he comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha, Al Atfila.
We just already have a bracha for Ger, altogether come from.
Why is he's not mechuyev to be? He's not mechuyev to convert. The Gemara says the ger has to say a bracha. He's not obligated to convert in the first place. But if he does convert and he goes through the ma'aseh geirus of the milah, so then the Gemara says he says a bracha on. We say a bracha on the milah. He's not Jewish yet, so he can't say the bracha. The Moel says a bracha. It's not the same bracha that you say when you have a Jewish baby. When you have a normal bris, a Jewish baby, so the Moel says a bracha on the milah. Then you say. Lachnisa, then you say Ashikidish you did in Betin, you say another bracha. So the Gemara says the brachas are different. The same daf in the Gemara, the last daf in Perek Rav Lezer Nemila, Masechah Shabbos. So the last daf gives you the brachas that you say when it's a Jewish baby, and the Gemara gives you the slightly different brachas that you say when it's a ger. So those brachas are recited by the Bezin. But then, when the ger goes to the mikveh, so that's the gemara of the ger. So then the ger himself says a bracha. He's not obligated. It's not really the tzivon. He's not obligated to convert. But if he decides that he wants to convert, then he has a mitzvah to go through the milah and the tefillah. But he can't say Kiddushana b'mitzvos v'tzivano before he's tovel in the mikveh, because he's not Jewish. It's not Kiddushana b'tzivano. There's nothing yet. So the Gemara says, tovel v'yola, when the ger comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha. So this is the Gemara said, that's an exception to the rule that the bracha is recited after the mitzvah is done. That's a question that the Rav Soloveitchik, when he was learning that Gemara in Shia, so he mentioned he only participated in one Geirus. He said there was a Muslim from the yeshiva in the Boston area who didn't have any children, and they adopted a baby girl, and he felt bad for him. So he said that was the one and only time that he participated in the Geirus. And at the time, he wasn't thinking in advance. He didn't think it out. At the time, he was wondering, the little baby, the infant, is not going to say a bracha. So he assumed the Bezman is going to say the bracha. So the members of the Bezman are Jewish. So he was wondering, should they say the bracha ala tfilo before the matbila baby? The only reason why the ger doesn't say the bracha before, because the ger is not Jewish. But here the Bezman is Jewish, and maybe the Bezman say the bracha before. And maybe not. Maybe since the bracha is normally recited by the ger, so maybe in these cases, the takana was melechatchila. It's a different kind of a bracha. It's not a bracha on a maisa mitzvah. Usually a bracha is recited in connection with a maisa mitzvah. Maybe it's a bracha on the chalois hageiros. So maybe, like Tosfos has one opinion, we don't follow this opinion. Tosfos has one opinion that the birchas erison is recited after you say hariyah mukadash, after you give the ring. The bracha is recited over the fact that the couple is married. Not that it's a mitzvah to get married in the same bracha as you're about to get married. It's a bracha on the fact that we are married. And Tosfos has one of the opinion that the bracha machnisa b'visa shel Avraham Avinu, the two opinions in the Rishonim. So one opinion is that the bracha is recited after the bris, b'davka after the bris, because now the baby is a mohel. Now he's able to eat truma, now he's able to eat korban pesach. So sometimes the chacham one misak and a bracha on the chalois, on the change in status that took effect. So he said he had to think on the spur of the moment. So he thought maybe they instituted the bracha by geirus on the fact that there is a change in status. The person is now a geir. So he thought maybe if it's a baby, if it's a little baby, even though the baby's not saying the bracha, the bezin is saying the bracha, and they are Jewish. He thought maybe they should say the bracha laharas yosm after the tovel of the baby. Maybe the bracha goes on the chalois hageiros. Years later, we looked up the topic. So we saw the Ravid has a sefer called Bali HaNefesh. The Ravid has all the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. He has the laws of Mikvos. And the sefer is called Bali HaNefesh. So the Ravid writes also, when he talks about a mikveh, he says we need the mikveh to be mekabel gerim. When a non-Jew wants to convert, he has to be tovel in the mikveh. And normally the ger says the bracha when he comes out of the mikveh. But if it's a ger katan and it's an infant, and the Bezin is saying the bracha, and the Bezin is Jewish already, so the Ravid writes the Bezin should say the bracha in advance, before the matzvah the baby. Not like Rabbi Soloveitchik said. Then we looked a little further. So there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was known as Bnei Yisoschar, Rav Pirush Melech Dinever. He was a Chassidish Tzadik. And he also wrote Bnei Yisoschar Zol Heilech Chassidus, all Kabbalah and Chassidus. But he wrote another sefer. Bnei Yisoschar has one half is on Shabbos and the other half is on the Yom Yitayim. And he wrote another sefer that's called Derech Pikudecha. It's a little like a Minchas Chinuch. Not as strong as the Minchas Chinuch. But so along that style, he goes on the mitzvah Puravu and the mitzvah of Mila, mitzvah of Gidanosh. He goes in the order of the mitzvahs. He goes, conks out in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim, about 55 mitzvahs or so. The Chassidim are not sure whether he wrote the whole sefer and it was lost, and he never wrote the rest. We only have till the middle of Parshas Mishpatim. So when he talks about the mitzvah of Milos, so he discusses Milos Hager also. So he raises the issue, what about a Ger Katan, when the Bezin is Megaira, little infant? So he thinks, and this is the common practice now in the Batidinim in America for conversion, he thinks that you should not say Broch at all, not on the Tefillah, and not on the Mila, because the child can be Higdili Yichalim Limchas. When the child grows up, reaches 12 or 13, he may say he's not interested. So even though the likelihood is that he's not going to turn down the whole thing, if it's a 50-50 suffix that the child is going to say he doesn't want the whole taifa that we did for him, so you have no right to say Zachon the other Mishlei B'fanim in the first place. It's not a schus. has to appear to be a schus from the perspective of the present, has to appear to us that it's going to be l'taybasa, that the child is going to be happy. He is. The parents, the adoptive parents, committed themselves to give him a yeshiva education, and it looks like he is going to be a shomer mitzvah. So the likelihood is that he's probably not going to turn it down later on. But nonetheless, that's a question. Do you have the right? The rule, we have a rule, sofik brachas lahakam. Whenever this is sofik, say you don't say a bracha. So what if it's not a 50-50 sofik? What if it's a sofik? But the likelihood is that you are chayv to say a bracha. Is sofik brachas lahakam identical with sveika de rabbanu lekula? Because all the brachas are only with the rabbanu. So whenever the likelihood is that you do need a bracha, then you don't say sveika de rabbanu lekula. Should I assume no? Sofik brachas lahakam is a bigger klal. Tzavik brachas lachal only applies when it's a bracha de rabban. If it's a bracha de raisa, let's say a person is mesupik if he said kiddush. You don't say tzavik brachas lachal. A person is mesupik if he said birchas hamazon. He had a whole filling meal, and he's mesupik if he recited birchas hamazon. So it says Shulchan Aruch, you have to say birchas hamazon. If there's a raif to say the likelihood is they really should say a bracha, but it's still a tzavik. So maybe even then, you shouldn't say a bracha. So that's a major dispute. Happens the Ravid is the one who thinks. The Ravid says over here in the Balei HaNefesh that the Bezin should say a bracha. That happens to be the Ravid. The Shitosa happens to think that Tzavik Brachas L'Hakala is identical with Sveika the Rabban L'Kula. But we don't accept that Ravid. We pass like the Rambam. The Tzavik Brachas L'Hakala is a more inclusive clause. So many poskim hold that even if the likelihood is, the Ravid is that you do need a bracha, but still called Tzavik Brachas L'Hakala. So the common practice today in America is by all the Batidinim, I think from the RCA, they have 11 Batidinim over the country for Geras. So I think the common practice is that they don't say Bracha when they do a conversion on a Ger Katan, because of Kosov, it's Igdila Yechadim Rim, because the child may grow up and decide that he doesn't want the whole thing. So it may turn out to be a Bracha Levatol.
What about an adult who says he was lying to basically? The adult says, I was lying to Basedin when I said I was going to keep the mitzvah.
And he never observed the mitzvah?
He never observed the mitzvah. He says I was lying to begin with. Whatever reason he wanted to convert.
There was a boy in Yeshiva College who tells me he's about to graduate. He tells me he served in the Israeli army, and then those in the army, if you're Jewish, you can get ahead. You can become a big general. If you're an Arab, if you're not Jewish, then you can't really get ahead in the Israeli army as easily as he would Jewish. So they have a whole conversion program. So he started the conversion program, then he realized he's not interested, he doesn't want to keep the mitzvah. So his friends told him, what do you care? Go through the whole program. So don't keep the mitzvah. Go through the program, tell him you want to keep the mitzvahs, and don't keep the mitzvahs. So he went through and he converted everything fine. He says he never kept any mitzvahs. And he came to Yeshiva College on the assumption that he was Jewish, had a document from the chief rabbinate of the army that he's Jewish. So he's telling me, as he's graduating college, he wants to know, should he date a non-Jewish girl? He's not married yet. Should he date a non-Jewish girl? If he's going to marry a Jewish girl, it's going to be an open Orthodox. It's not going to be an Orthodox. It's going to be an open Orthodox. I told him, young man, you marry a non-Jewish girl, you're not Jewish. If he never kept any mitzvah, you're not Jewish. He says he fooled the rabbanim. He never intended to keep anything. So he's not Jewish. The whole geirus is not valid.
Do you need a bezdin when you deal with a bezdin to document that he agrees or not agreeing at that later age?
Rabbi Al-Yashiv liked the opinion of the Ritva. The Ritva, not Gemara, and Ksubis, and Daf Yud Aleph, thinks that every convert needs Kabbalah Son Mitzvah, except when the child is an infant. An infant doesn't need Kabbalah Son Mitzvah, but once you're going to become a bar mitzvah, bar das, then you need a Kabbalah Son Mitzvah. So you have to convene a bezin when the child is 12 or 13, and you have to have Kabbalah Son Mitzvahs in the presence of the bezin. So this has not been the practice for many centuries. Nobody ever followed that ritual. And the pash this is, we usually assume, like the Gemara has, you're not allowed to introduce, Rabbi Yashiv was a great goyim. That's belief shum suffering. But we have a practice, we don't introduce chumris into inyonim that have to do with yuchsin. Because it's going to be motzi laz ala doris harishonim. There's so many, we don't introduce chumris in gittin. Years ago, the gittin were all written on parchment. And then there was a period of time that people divorcing their wives couldn't afford parchment, so they started writing the gittin on paper. Now the people can afford parchment, but the minig was You don't reintroduce the parchment because people are going to be multi-laws on the gittin that were written on paper. So now no one writes gittin on parchment anymore. They're all written on paper, on thick paper, but it's paper. And the Gemara says, you don't introduce any chumis in gittin. So the same thing, you don't introduce chumis in gevus because it's going to reflect negatively on all of those converts who didn't have a best. The Ruba. Most of the children who were converted, no one ever did this thing. So we don't introduce the chum. We don't have that. You just tell the child if he doesn't want to be Jewish, he doesn't have to. He has the right to give up the whole thing.
The bottom line, what is the Reformed
Jewish. If his mother was converted by Reformed rabbis, then his mother's not Jewish. The mother's not Jewish, he's not Jewish. If the mother is Jewish, so we assume he is Jewish. We have a rule in the Gemara, one who doesn't observe the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. Let's say, how many mitzvahs do they know about? They never heard of Shiloh HaKan. Okay, most Orthodox Jews never heard of Shiloh HaKan. What mitzvahs do they know of? So if the person violates the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of, then he's dina kenochri. He has the status like a goy. If he's mechal Shabbos befeesia, that's only one of them. Mechal Shabbos befeesia, so even though it's only one of them, let's say he keeps all the other 612 mitzvahs, just mechal Shabbos befeesia. So there's also dina kenochri. You treat him like a non-Jew. He's Jewish, but you treat him like a non-Jew. But the Paschim say befeesia means that he knows that it's wrong and he's breaking the discipline. Everybody else is observing Shabbos. He's breaking the discipline. So the Binyan Sion was a rabbi in Germany, of Yankov Ettlinger. He was the beginning of the Reform movement, middle of the Reform movement. So he says that we don't really have Mechal Shabbos befeesia. So many Jews are not Sabbath observant. It's b'mezid, but you can't call it befeesia. Befeesia means breaking this discipline. Is not embarrassed at all to be Mechal Shabbos in the presence even of the chief rabbi. Yeah, so we don't have, but the other one we do have. We have Jews who violate rov of the mitzvahs that they're aware of. So that person is taka dina kenochri. If he handles wine, we paskin that the wine becomes treif. There was an opinion, but it's not the accepted opinion. It was an opinion that only a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, who handles wine, asses the wine. These Reformed Jews, they don't worship Avodah Zarah. They're not worshiping, they're not observing the Jewish religion properly, but they're not worshiping Avodah Zarah. But that's not the opinion that's accepted by the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says if you have a Jew who doesn't worship any Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Pem and Hashemayim, so he asses wine.
But that doesn't make him not Jewish.
Doesn't make him non-Jewish.
It just means that the way we treat him is...
Dina kenochri with respect to certain dina. If he'll shech the behemah, we'll say it's shechitas and
a
behemah.
If he does kiddushin, the kiddushin is a valid kiddushin.
Yes, if he does kiddushin, it's valid, for sure. For sure. There is a group of people who have set themselves up, they have adopted the name, they're the International Bezdin for Agunas. Misomcha, who appointed them. So recently they had such a psak that there was a woman who needed a get and her husband was withholding the get. So they had witnesses testify that they knew for a fact that the husband was Mechal Shabbos before he married her. So since Mechal Shabbos befeesia, we treat like a non-Jew, so the Kiddushin are not tofsin. So she doesn't need a get. Good morning. So all the Jews in America, they're not married. All the Reformed Jews, all the conservative, no one's married because of Mechal Shabbos befeesia. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, if you have a Jew who converted to another religion, he converted to Catholicism, but he was originally a Jew. So the Gemara says, Mekadosh Anisha, Kiddushin Atofsin. So Mechal Shabbos, for sure, the Kiddushin Atofsin. Dina Genachri means, I can't shave off his payas. Let's say I'm a barber, and I have a non-Jewish customer. I'm allowed to shave off his payas with a razor. I can shave his beard with a razor. But if you have a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos, a Jew who's a Reformed Jew, doesn't keep anything, even if he's an Ovid Abedazar, even if he converted to a different religion, I'm not allowed to shave off his face. I can't use him as my Shabbos goy. I can't sell him my chometz. He's Jewish. I can't sell him my chometz. He's Jewish. But with respect to certain dinim, we treat him as if he were not Jewish. He can't, if he shechts a behemah, is no good. He can't participate in the Erev. If if he's one of the shutvim in the building, so he can't participate in the air because dina kenoch. But he's still Jewish.
In a case where we follow the religion of the mother, if we know that someone who's my great grandmother going back several generations was Jewish, and her daughter was Jewish, and so on, but they didn't keep mitzvot, or they even converted to Christianity or whatever, and then the great granddaughter, let's say, discovers that she is Jewish. Don't
we
still require your
gayness?
And what's the status in that situation?
We have Pirkei Avos. We all know it's printed in the Siddur. We have Avos Reb Nosson. Avos Reb Nosson has more elaborate than the Pirkei Avos. So there's a passage in Avos Reb Nosson. If a Jew converted to out of the Jewish religion, converted to a different religion, then he decides to be chozer b'tshuva, he wants to become Jewish again. So it says you have to go through gayness. So that's a big dispute. Is that a din min haTorah? That the Jew who converted really loses his status as a Jew. And if he wants to be chozer b'tshuva, we require geiris min haTorah, or is that only a chumer midrabban? So the generally accepted opinion is that that's only a chumer midrabban. Min haTorah, once he's Jewish, he can't leave the Jewish religion. Based on the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, that when the Jewish people conquered the city Yericho, the first city they conquered when they crossed over the Yarden, so Yeshua ben Nun made a cherem. No one's allowed to take anything from Yericho. So one character, Ochan, violated the cherem. Ochan ben Karmde ben Zavdi ben Zerach, Mishpachas Yehuda, he violated the cherem. And he took some of the stuff. So the next war that they waged against the city, the Jewish people lost the war. Yeshua ben Nun asked the Rosh Hashanah, how can that be? But you promised us we're going to win all the wars, with Nisim and the flaws. So the Rosh Hashanah said, it's your stupid fault who told you to make a cherem. You shouldn't have made a cherem, because this fellow violated the cherem. So the expression that the Rabban Shalom said is, Chata Yisrael. So the Gemara has a comment on that, Abba Pisho Chata Yisrael, even though he sinned, he violated the cherem, is still considered Jewish. So although the Rishon, the Gemara there is not talking about Avodah Zarah, the Gemara is not talking, he didn't convert to another religion, he wanted money. So he took some of the money, some of the clothing, he violated the cherem that Yeshua ben Nun made. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk, Afal Pishachat Yisrael. So the Rishonim add on, even a Jew who converts to another religion still remains Jewish. But not the Goyim do not agree. Many of the Goyim are of the opinion that a Jew who converts to another religion is ois Jew. And if he wants to be chozer b'tshuva, he needs geiris min haTorah. That was a big machlokes. There was such an opinion in the days of the Goyim. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch L'chumra that if a man dies, a married man dies, he has no children, so his wife needs chalitza. So if the only surviving brother has converted out of the Jewish religion, converted to a different religion, there's no need for chalitza. The Ramumer ain't a zoike. There's no need for chalitza because he's not Jewish. He can't even do chalitza if he wants to. So we don't really hold like that. We paskan the chumer like that. Let's say there are two surviving brothers. One brother converted out of the religion, the other brother did not convert. So we are choshish with that opinion that the brother who converted cannot do the chalitza, he's not Jewish, and we would insist the other brother should do the chalitza. But we wouldn't be mekel based on that. If there's only one surviving brother, and that brother is a mumer, we wouldn't be mekel to say that you don't need chalitza at all. Chacham Avadya had a whole kula, but he stands alone. His opinion has not been accepted by the Ashkenazi Rabbanim. There was a famous incident before the Second World War. There was a balabas in Germany who passed away, and he left two surviving brothers. So one brother had converted to Christianity. He lived in Berlin. Many of the Jews converted to Christianity. Get ahead. But he's a nice fellow. And the other one was a farbissen, a communist. He hated the Jewish religion. So they assumed the communist probably will not, he was forbidden, he probably will not agree to do the chalitza. But the one who converted, he was a nice guy. So they thought that he probably would agree to do the chalitza. So there was a whole correspondence among the rabbanim, can he do the chalitza or not? So Rabbi Weinberg, who was the head of Hildesheim Seminary, sometimes they would ask him the difficult shaykh. So sometimes he would write a tshuva on his own. Sometimes he would consult with other rabbis. So over here, he wrote a tshuva, and he says, he just put two and two together, and we got four. He just quotes what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We are machmer that the brother who converted Yeah, machmor like the goyim that he can't do chalitza. We consider himself he's not Jewish. And then the other brother didn't convert, even though the communist was an atheist, a real fabisan atheist, but he never converted out of the religion. And Rabbi Weinberg in the Swedish quotes, in his tshuva, he quotes the Hassam Sofer, he says that din for the goyim, that if a Jew converts, he can't do chalitza, she doesn't need chalitza from him. That's only if the person officially converts to another religion. But if he just became an atheist and he doesn't keep anything, that din doesn't apply. So he wrote over here, the girl is stuck, that the brother who's the communist doesn't want to do the chalitza, and the one who converted can't do the chalitza, so the woman is an aguna. So it happened that the Rogachova happened to be visiting in Germany for medical treatment. So the rabbi went to meet the Rogachov, the rabbi from the little village in Germany where his family lived, with her husband dying. So the rabbi went to visit the Rogachov and he asked him the Shaila. So he said, "What do you, how can I chaylik? Let the brother who converted, let him do the chalitza. They're both the same. This one is an atheist and this one converted. It's all the same thing. What did they dig up achareinu fanunta deret? What did... Weinberg, who is this Weinberg? He's never heard of one. Who is this Weinberg? He dug up Achrein von Unter, the unknown Achrein. So Weinberg writes, what do you mean? Unknown. I put together the Ramor with the Chassam Sefer. The Ramor says, when Machmer like the Goyim, that the brother who converted is out of the picture. The Chassam Sefer says, only if he converted, but if he's an atheist, it's not the same. He says, I didn't dig up Achrein von Unter, I just, the Chassam Sefer and the Ramor, everybody accepts the Pesukim. So Rabbi Weinberg was a little shaken up. He said, if it's going to be a machlokes, it's me and the Rogachov, I give in to the Rogachov. The Rogachov is a great guy. But if he's going to consult the other rabbanim to see. So this Shaila he sent to another four or five rabbanim. Sometimes he would consult the Chazon Ish, sometimes the Chaim Moses, sometimes the Rav in Kalish. Different rabbanim, he would have Cheska Lipschitz. Different rabbanim. So this one he consulted the Rav in Nir, Abel Yibarach Kamai, and the Rav in Kalish, and Cheska Lipschitz, a few rabbanim. I don't think the Chazon Ish on this. Every so often he has four or five other rabbis. So they all said like him. So like Weinberg, not like the Rogachov. So he says, if it would only be me against the Rogachov, I give in to Rogachov. He says, all the rabbis agree with me. So you can't be mata the woman. So then he writes postscript after the whole tshuva is all finished. He writes, one of the rabbis bumped into the Yavam, to the surviving brother who had converted in Berlin, and he told him, you know, the rabbis are corresponding with each other, whether they're going to allow you to do chalitza. So he got all stiff, and he says, chalitza? Nothing to discuss. I'm not Jewish anymore. Tell the rabbi to go fly kite. I'm not going to do any chalitza. So they wrote this to Rogachov, that the one who converted said nothing to discuss. He took it as a simon min hashamayim, his psak was wrong, and that Weinberg's psak was right. That's what Weinberg writes at the end of the whole, after the whole thing was discussed. So Rabbi Weinberg in the Chum in the Sridi Eish, she points out the following. The Gemara at the end of the first parak in Yevamah says that the lost 10 tribes intermarried. The Jewish girls from the lost 10 tribes married non-Jewish men and they had children, so the mothers are Jewish. So the daughters that they had children, daughters, all the way down. So if you have a non-Jew, so one opinion in the Gemara, a nochri shekidish isha bismanazeh, a non-Jew is mekadosh, a Jewish girl bismanazeh, choshishim lekidushim, maybe he's from the Aseres HaShvatim, maybe his mother's mother, all the way back till the days of the Churban Bais Rishon, maybe he's really Jewish. So then the Gemara says, we don't accept that opinion. The Gemara says, because the Pasuk in Navi says, regarding the lost 10 tribes, Bashem Bagadu, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kibbarim Zorim Yoladim. They intermarried, they assimilated, and they lost the Kedushas Yisrael. And even the Hakil, if they're Mekadosh and Isha, the Kedushan are not Chal. So on that Gemara, there's a major machloikis of Rishayim. What's the Pshat? So many Rishayim say that was a Hirasha once in the history of the world. The lost 10 tribes, they lost the Kedushas Yisrael. That's what the Navi spoke. Bashem Bagodu, Kibbarim Zorim Yoladim. Only the Aseres HaShvatim doesn't apply in any other case. Other Rishayim held, and the Rambam is included, other Rishayim held, that Pasuk applies whenever there's a whole group of Jewish people who float so far away from mainstream Judaism that they don't look like they're Jewish anymore. So then the Pasuk applies, so even the Kusim, The Gemara has an expression regarding the Kusim. The Kusim were a group who had converted. It's in Sefer Melachim. They came from the city Kusa, from Chutz Lord, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. They were being attacked by lions.
Right.
So then they converted to Judaism, but they didn't keep any mitzvahs at all. It says, "Hey, my Avne, still continue to worship Avodah Zarah." But the lions were satisfied, so the lions stopped attacking them. So the Gemara says the original conversion was meaningless because there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all. But the question is, by the time he came, that was in the days of Tanakh, that was in Sefer Melachim. Then in the days of the Tanaim, they were observing some of the mitzvahs, not all. So the question is, why were they observing some? Did they just pick it up by osmosis because the other people in Eretz Yisrael were observing mitzvahs? Or should we assume that they converted a second time and the second conversion had a Kabbalah on mitzvahs? So that's a big shaila, historical shaila. Should we assume that Kusin converted a second time? So accept that opinion was a historical shaila, halachic nafkamina, halachic ramifications. So we assume historically they did convert the second time and they were Jewish. However, the Gemara says that in the beginning of Chulin, the Rav Meir sent some of the students to snoop around to find out what these Kusim are doing. So he found out there were different groups of Kusim. So one of the sects of the Kusim was worshipping Avodah Zarah. They were worshipping idols, mamish, and hagrizim. So Rav Meir was geyser, all the Kusim have a din like Nochrim. So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, the Kusim have a din like Nochrim lechumra, or even lekuda. Means I can sell my chometz to the Kusi, and if he comes to the barbershop, I can shave off his beard and his payas because he's not Jewish. I can use him as the Shabbos guy. Well, no, the chumra, they're over the Avodah Zarah, so Ibn Avodah Zarah, Dina Kenochah, but not Lekula. So many Rishonim hold, the Rambam included. The Rambam says a Jewish dead body is Metami Bo'ohel, and a non-Jewish dead body is not Metami Bo'ohel. So the Rambam says the Kusim are no longer Metami Bo'ohel. After the Chacham declared Dina Ka'akum is Ben Lekula, Ben Lekum. So the Sridi Yesh writes, the first opinion is that that pasuk that the Navi says, Hashem Ba'god, Kiborim Zarm Yolodu, as Rasha only applies to the Aseres HaShvatim, doesn't apply to any other group. Second opinion is, the whole group of Rishonim, no, it applies to any group of Jews, any segment of the Jewish people who float so far away from mainstream Judaism that it doesn't really look like a Jewish practice. So the Navi says about them, they also lose their Kedushas Yisrael. And the third opinion is the Shita Sakayim, that any one individual Jew who converts to another religion loses his Kedushas Yisrael. And he needs a gerus all over again, min haTorah. So that we don't hold. That we hold that that's only mid the Rabbanah. If a Jew converted to another religion, and then he wants to join back again, so you need gerus mid the Rabbanah. That's the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch.
But there would be no bracha then.
Right. There would be no bracha. There are different practices. Some Rishonim insist that only the Ger, because the Ger is not Jewish yet. And others say no. Any time a person goes to the mikveh, the bracha should be recited after. So many women have the practice that they toivel in the mikveh, then they say the bracha, then they toivel the second time. There are all three practices. Some have the practice say the bracha before, some have the bracha after, and some are toivel twice. So the question, what do you accomplish by that? The first time you were toivel, it was a good tefillah. When he said the bracha, he didn't say the bracha. What do you accomplish by being toivel the second time? You haven't satisfied the both opinion. But that's in Shulchan Aruch. They quote such a practice that many people are toivel twice. Yeah. The Rabbi Yehuda has comments printed on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch. It's called Dogim Levava. So the Rabbi Yehuda has the following. Whenever a woman comes to convert, if she's that age, that's possible that she may be pregnant. So I have to ask her, are you pregnant? Because the Gemara says a mu'uberis, a non-Jewish woman is pregnant who converts. So the conversion, the tefillah and the mikvah is good even for the baby. The Gemara has a whole discussion. How can it be good for the baby? But the mother's body should constitute a chatzitza. The water in the mikvah is not touching the baby. The fetus is inside. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why it is acceptable, even though the mother's body should have been a chatzitza. So the Nadi Behuda writes in his comments, it's only a valid tvila for the baby if the bezdin knows that the woman is pregnant. If the bezdin isn't aware that the woman is pregnant, so the gerus on the infant was done without the benefit of the bezdin. So then it's not valid. So there was a couple of years ago, there was There was a young woman. Every Shabbos should either be in Borough Park or Flatbush or Muncie. And then she was always hanging around with ultra-Orthodox people. And then she was preparing herself to convert for a long time, and then she finally converted. So then the Bezdin asked if she's pregnant, so she said no. Then she found out afterwards, miraculously, that she was pregnant. She wasn't aware. So the rabbi who had brought her for the conversion called me up on the phone. The girl was nervous. She told them a lie, but she didn't realize that it was a lie. She thought she wasn't pregnant. Does that undo her conversion because she misrepresented? I said, doesn't. No, she's Jewish. But now you have to wait till the baby is born. Then you have to be told the baby. So we assume she's probably going to marry the boy who made her pregnant, either from Muncie or from Flatbush, or whoever the religious guy is who made her pregnant is going to marry him. If someone else made her pregnant, then she's not supposed to get married till after 2 years after the baby is born. You're not allowed to marry him. So she's probably going to marry the guy who made her pregnant. And you have to wait till the baby is born, and then you have to be toivel the baby. So the rabbi calls me back a week later. Maybe she can go to the mikveh now a second time. Now she'll tell the Bezdin that she's pregnant. She's already Jewish. Let her go to the mikveh a second time now, and tell the Bezdin she wants to be Megayer, the infant. So I thought that would not be acceptable. There's a din in the Gemara, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have a kli that's tamei, and you want to be toivel in the mikveh. Then you put this kli inside another kli. Let's say you have a needle that's tamei. I put the needle inside a bottle, and the opening to the bottle is very tiny. It's not shvateres anod. So the water inside the bottle, Alpidin, it's not part of the mikveh. So you can't be toivel the needle if it's inside a bottle, if the opening to the bottle is so tiny. But if the bottle is also tamei, and being toivel the bottle, so the water that goes inside the bottle is good to be toivel the bottle. So since it's good to be toivel the bottle, it's good to be toivel the needle as well. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. So I thought, this Gemara that says that the mother's body is not a hatzitza for the infant, that's if the mother's being toivel in the mikveh. So that tefillah is good for the fetus as well. But if the mother already is Jewish, she's not being toivel in the mikveh now for the sake, for her own sake. She's only being toivel for the fetus. I thought that's not acceptable. So they asked to some other rabbi. So I don't know what they did. I don't know the end of the story, what they did. So my son was learning in Eretz Yisrael. One of my sons learning in Eretz Yisrael at that time. That's 10 years ago. So he presented the Shadlut to Rabbi Yashiv. So he went in with another rabbi who researched it, and the other rabbi thought that there's room to be mekum. Rabbi Yashiv is only about 95 years old at that time. He's a young man. So when they presented the shot, he said, no, absolutely no good. So the other rabbi started talking. He said, no, that's a misprint. And he was up on everything. He knew all the sources. He had worked this out. All the shots that they asked him had worked out centuries ago. when he was a young man learning in the Kotel, he used to learn the Gemara, and then he learned the Tur and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. He always learned everything halacha l'maisa. So he worked out the shaila. So he said no. He thought that it's no good, and others thought that it was good. That was taka shaila halacha l'maisa. That's a shaila halacha l'maisa. When a non-Jew is preparing to convert, so he's supposed to practice observance of the mitzvahs. So he can't say, let's say he wants to daven, he can't say l'keinu v'l'kei avoseinu l'kei Abraham l'keinu. He's not Jewish. He can say l'keinu v'l'kei avoseinu Yisrael. But he can't say, let's say he wants to light the Neres Chanukah. He can't say Asher Kedushan Abim and Soy Sov and Tzivan. He can't say that. He can't say Shas and Nisim Lav and Seinu. Even after he converts, that's Machlekes. So we paskin Machlekes HaTanoim. So we paskin the Ger can say Shas and Nisim Lav and Seinu, even though he's not a biological descendant of the Jewish people. And he does say Avakeinu V'lekev V'seinu, even though he's not a biological descendant of Avram Yitzchak Yankiv. The Psak and Shulchan Aruch is like that Taner, like Rav Yehuda, that the Ger can say. But Kolzman, he didn't convert. It's not Shaykh, he can't say those brachas.
I mean, it's not even a brachas copy, and he's just practicing. Why can't he do that?
It's Shekhtar. He's talking to Rabbi Shalom, he's telling him a lie. Shekhtar Shalom says it's Tivant.
Well, if he's not Jewish, it's not a brachas, and he's just saying words.
But he's talking to God, and he's telling him a lie. Pashna said that it's not right. So the Geirim, well, they all practice the observance of the mitzvahs. Shabbos, can they practice Shabbos? The Gemara has a din Nochish Shabbos Chai Misa. Non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos. So that's a problem. So it's not right. The non-Jew should not observe Shabbos. The question is, what about in between the Mila and the Tfila? You have to wait to go to Mikveh. You have to wait a week or so till the surgery heals. He doesn't want to go to Mikveh when he's still bleeding. So during that week's time, a week or two, sometimes you wait a month or two. So in between the Mila and Tfila, is it okay to observe Shabbos? So this was a famous machlokes. I think Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the head of the Badatz of the Eidah Haredes, and he was traveling in Europe, and his assistant rabbi was Rabbi Shalemel in Yerushalayim. So there was a non-Jew who came to Davin Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. I don't know what Nusach he said in the Shemana Esrei. I wasn't there. You shouldn't say Lakeinu Lakeinu Lakeinu. You should say Lakeinu Lakeinu Avos Yisrael. I don't know. So Rabbi Shalemel, this non-Jew had undergone Mila and he didn't have the Tfilah in the Mikveh yet. So Rabbi Shalemel told him he has to be Mechal Shabbos. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos because a non-Jew, Kozman, he doesn't convert. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos. Other things he may observe. He can sit in Sukkah, he can shake a lulav, but he can't observe Shabbos.
He also can't learn
Torah. That's a question. The Gemara says that a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah except for the Sheva Mitzvahs that are relevant to him. So the question is, if a non-Jew plans to convert, so everything is relevant to him. So maybe he is allowed to learn. So that was a big machlokes. So the Maharsha writes in his commentary on the Gemara that the ger is permitted to learn the dinim that he has to know, because he's going to convert. He has to know how to say Asheyotza, he has to know how to say Shahakum, he has to know all the dinim, he has to know how to lake tefillin. The day he converts, he has to lake tefillin. So he has to know the dinim. And the Rebbe Kadega says, no, you're not allowed to teach the ger anything till after he converts, only the Sheva Mitzvah. So the common practice is not like Rebbe Kadega. Common practice is that we do teach the ger everything, because he has to know it the minute he converts. The Minkacher writes in his genius, the Mincha Zaluza, he writes, I think he's a descendant from Rebbe Kadega, I think, somehow. So he writes that we don't follow Rebbe Kadega on this. The Bezna will convert a non-Jew without teaching him how to read the Siddur is a violation of Lifnei V'Lisita Mirshol, because the day he converts, he has to leg tefillin, he has to say Ashiyotza, he has to say Brachas on food. If you don't teach him how to say all the, if you convert him and you didn't teach him how to do the mitzvahs, so he won't be able to observe the mitzvahs, so you violate Lifnei V'Lisita. You shouldn't convert such a non-Jew. That's a general practice. We assume that you have to teach the ger all the dinah before he converts, because the minute he converts, he has to observe everything. He has to say, why do I Brachas on Torah? Anyway, so this was a big hullabaloo. So they had different rabbanim in different parts of the world wrote shuvas about that. There's a Lakewood Koilov in Chicago. Around 25 years ago, they published a hardcover book. They collected all the shuvas on this topic, and they put it all together. Very rich literature. The issue is like this. When was the mitzvah Shabbos given to the Jewish people? When the man fell down. The man didn't fall down on Shabbos. They were given, the man was given, and they were given the mitzvah Shabbos before Maamar Har Sinai, in between the Mila and the Tfila. The Mila was in the Mitzrayim before Korban Pesach, and the Tfila was before Maamar Har Sinai. So they were given Shabbos, they observed Shabbos in between Mila and Tfila. Some said that was the first time in the history of the world, but after Maamar Har Sinai, that is no longer so. But others said, no, if it's good enough for Kodesh Matan Torah, it's good enough for now. So that was a big dispute. It's usually assumed that Rambam understood that Gemara, that there's no special status to Shabbos. The Rambam understood that the Ger shouldn't make up his own religion. Should not be Mechadish Das Me'atzma. Shouldn't make up his own religion. Look, before you convert, you're not yet Jewish. So you shouldn't think that this is part of your religion. After you convert, you're going to keep all the mitzvahs. If the ger is practicing before he converts, he practices, he knows this is part of the Jewish religion. According to the Rambam, it seems that it's not a problem. It's just that he shouldn't observe Shabbos as if he's mechuyev to observe Shabbos. He should know that it's only voluntary. He shouldn't act as if it's a new kind of religion. He has to keep Shabbos mitzvahs and Shabbos. There is no such thing. But it's usually assumed not like that Rambam, because there's the Avin Ezer quotes a Zohar. The Zohar says that Pasuk says in Chumash Shomrei Sasa Shabbos Osi b'ni b'emenei sol osi liyonim. Shabbos is unique for the Jewish people. And the Zohar gives a mashal that the maid who cleans in the royal palace has the keys to all the rooms. The maid has the keys to the bedroom where the king and the queen sleep also. So if the maid is going to barge in when the king and the queen are together in bed, so the king is going to behead her. So you got to be careful. So if the Nochri is going to observe Shabbos, he's barging in, like when there's a special rendezvous between the Rabban Shalom and Bnei Yisrael on Shabbos. Bnei Bnei Yisrael, Oisei. It's a unique yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael on Shabbos. The goyim are not allowed to barge in, even though they want to practice observance of the Shabbos. They know they're not mechuyev. So it's usually assumed like that, that the goy should not observe Shabbos. So that's a question. How do they get around it? So some will do some malachas, some say, different swarm write about that. So some say, by us, Shabbos is over at Nacht, at Zeisar Kachodim. By the Goyim, Shabbos is from sunrise to sunrise, from Shabbos morning till Sunday morning. So if the Goyim will do malacha Matzoi Shabbos, so the problem will be solved. That's what some say. They give different suggestions.
Now you can solve the problem by giving it
tzitzis,
like they say,
whatever I'm looking to do. Right. Some say you should wear tzitzis if it's a man. Yeah. If it's a woman, what do you do? Right. They say that Ivanka Trump told her father that before she converted. So she told her father, he used to call her on the phone every single day, more than once a day, or tweet them or whatever. So she told him, this is the first Shabbos she's going to observe Shabbos, he shouldn't call. So they say he called 35 times and she didn't answer. Then after Shabbos, the father got her on the phone and said, why didn't you answer the telephone? So she said, I told you, this is going to be the first Shabbos she's going to observe. So she didn't talk on the phone. And then she was invited to the rabbi's home before she came. She was invited to the rabbi's home on Shabbos and they made kiddush and wine and everything. She called the father and she said, oh, such a beautiful religion. We had wine for kiddush. So he called Rabbi Shlomo Shapiro. So Chaim Levracha used to be a rabbi in Queens. And Trump used to be the Shabbos guy for all the Jews there in the neighborhood. So he says, this is Donald Trump calling. Before he's prepped, this is Donald Trump. You remember me? He says, sure, I remember you. So he says, who's this rabbi? He tells the rabbi's name who is preparing his Oshma. I don't think he's an Orthodox rabbi. I remember when I would come into the homes of the Jews, they wouldn't let me look at the wine. Some of them wouldn't let me look at the wine. And those that let me look, but they wouldn't let me drink the wine. He's not an Orthodox rabbi. So the rabbi Shapiro had explained to me, I'm mavushal, my grape juice is mavushal. Oh. He wanted his daughter, if she's converting, then it should be done properly.
Observing Shabbos.
Yeah, that was the question. How could Avraham Avinu observe Shabbos? And some say that the Pashtus says that the others were Jewish. That's the Pashtus says like that. These are some of the Dinim of Geiris. There are a lot of details, a lot more details. These are some of the Dinim of Geiris. Okay. A good tabach, everybody.
You know what they told me?
Does it say that it'll be only when they enter?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, last time. then the second year with Ahira showed that the nation
Thank you.
Omer by that shall be Gedorim, who thinks that if I'm telling you, if the Bezdin is not, you shouldn't tell the person you're not Jewish, you don't have to keep anything.
I had a case like that.
Yeah.
My next door neighbor, who I was, he met me once going down to shul with my Tolleson film, Phil Kedavitz, and he said to me, I could really go with you, but they wouldn't accept me as a. I knew him as a guy, I had no idea. So he says to me that he got a conservative cabinet. So I said, and he's a very straight guy, you know, he's a lawyer, he was teaching in YU's law school with him. Anyway,
Cardoza.
Teaching Cardoza. And he used to attend Rabbi Bleich's classes. Anyway, so I said to him, I told him to call Rabbi Schwartz. I told him I would call him first, Rabbi Alan Schwartz. And he said to me, okay, he would call him. And then I told him, and Rabbi Schwartz wouldn't answer him, you know, took him. So he said to me that he was trying to call him and he wouldn't answer. So I called up Alan Schwartz and I said to him, what's going on? So he said he has a whole filing cabinet of people who want to become gay. He makes a cut for them. And if they still want to do it, they're good. So, you know, so he said, okay, tell them to call me and I'll accept it. And so he became a gay.
Alan Schwartz, he's very serious. He's a guy. They have to know Alan Mitya by heart.
Is there any attitude towards somebody whose father's Jewish to try to get them, to encourage them any more than anybody
else? Good enough.
Let's make it more easy for them.
I think Rabbi Uziel, he used to be the chief rabbi, very intelligent chief rabbi, he came up with this newfangled thing, Zerei Yisrael.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not a thing.
I think it's nothing.
Okay.
What's the thing about Sarah?
Since their father was Jewish, so we have to bend over backwards to be MacGyver. Why? Just tell him he's not Jewish. You're buying good luck. Nice, no? Why should you bend over backwards?
But,
not Jewish, you're not
Jewish. Well, because for the sake of the children, that he gets married to a Jewish woman.
Okay.
And the children are Jewish. So if he's not considered Jewish,
Should Rabbi Schwartz answer the phone on the first call from a person like that?
There he has a good system working.
This thing makes it hard for the.
He wants to see how we.
How determined
it is. How determined it is. Good. Undergo gayrus, but some of them will be brought in. If it's a girl, she shouldn't marry a coin. He says, they know it's important.
Jack
says, oh, it's that problem. It's not that. I said, you're not a kohen, you're not a levi. I mean, that is bar mitzvah. Not a kohen, you're not a levi. Shine. So that's not a problem. So his father called on the phone. His father's on the ground. What are you talking about? The rabbis have to wake up. They should listen to the doctors. What did the doctors say? Everybody knows what the doctor said. That the egg came from, they're not doubting that the egg came from the mother. It's not a medical question. It's a philosophical question. It's a theological question. Who's considered, philosophical question. Who's considered the mother? It's not a medical question. When you adopt a baby, you have to get the woman who gives birth to the baby has to write over that she's giving over the baby to the doctor. What about in vitro fertilization? Is she just a carrier? Does she also have to write over? She probably does have to. Some of the leaders of the Machus consider she's the mother. Not so fashion that the other, she doesn't need to vote. She has to sign over the rights to her baby.
There have been some legal cases where the mother changed her mind. She decided she wanted to bond.
Even Mahusa says that she's the mother. That's no question. He'll believe this Meshuggah and the Farmer. He'll believe that Dina Mahusa is faster than the Rabbanim. Very good.
Thank you very much.